98.3 FM and 1340 AM KIHR and GorgeRadio.com presents the Mid-Columbia Today Show with Mark Bailey. Special thanks to our sponsors, Skyline Health and Del Carpine Automotive. Now, here's Mark Bailey.
And good morning. 8:05. It is a Wednesday, the 4th of March. 10 days from the Bi-Coastal Media Radio Auction presented by Guild Mortgage. 8 o'clock in the morning, Saturday, March 14th. On this station. Other stations in the region as well that are ours. So it is coming. Get ready to save. Watch GorgeRadio.com. There should be stuff up there in the very, very, very near future to start to plan for your bidding opportunities. But this morning on this program in particular, here's what we're going to do. First half of the show, we're going to talk Olympia, Washington State Legislature. 17th District Representative David Stebe is going to be with us. I think actually he's waiting for us on the phone, so we'll get to him after the commercial break. It is winding down. They go a little longer than Oregon. They go next week. Oregon will finish up on the weekend. So we'll talk about a bill that Dave's been working on. Second half of the show, Amanda Lawrence of The Next Door will join us, Director of Marketing and Development. What we're going to talk to her about is the Community Legacy Initiative. They're going to do this at the Fort Dalles Readiness Center in a couple weeks. It's a lot of nonprofits in the area. And this is about estate planning. And, you know, obviously nonprofits have a vested interest in this. So we will discuss it in the second half of the show this morning, a little after 8:30. I'm moving a little slow here. I stayed up last night. I blame the Montreal Canadiens. A Leo hockey team miles away from me. Because I was watching the game last night, as I usually do. They're on the West Coast, so it was a 7 o'clock game. They were down 5-2 about 15 minutes to go in the third period. It was a little after 9 o'clock. I'm going, okay, I'm going to bed. I started to get up. They scored. 15 seconds later, they scored again. A minute later, they scored again. They tied the game, and there I was watching it to the end at that point. To watch them commit a too many men on the ice penalty and lose. If I should have gone to bed and just saved myself the trouble. When a team becomes good, you actually become, it's less, almost less enjoyable to watch the game. It really is. Because you have expectations. And you get irritated when they are not met. And they were not met last night. Anyway, so if I seem a little slow, that's why. I didn't sleep enough. Too many men on the ice with 4 minutes to go. Oh, what a mistake. But anyway, let's tell you what this day has meant and what it means, at least to some people. Got a lot of days today, by the way. 1789, the Constitution of the U.S. took effect as the first federal Congress met in New York. 1801, Thomas Jefferson became the first president to be inaugurated in Washington, D.C. This day in 1865, President Abraham Lincoln was inaugurated for the second term, 6 weeks before his assassination. 1933, Franklin D. Roosevelt inaugurated for his first term as president. He was the last president to be inaugurated on this date. Subsequent inaugurations have been held on January 20th. In his inaugural speech, Roosevelt stated, "We have nothing to fear, but the only thing we have to fear is fear itself." I took a great well-known quote and just hacked it up. Good job. Another well-known quote, 1966. John Lennon of the Beatles was quoted in the London Evening Standard as saying, quote, "We're more popular than Jesus now." And, of course, that brought a backlash, especially in this country, apparently. To be honest, he probably wasn't wrong when he said it. Think about the Beatles in the 60s. It shouldn't have been that big a deal, but of course people made it out a big deal. 1987, President Ronald Reagan addressed the nation on the Iran-Contra affair, acknowledging his overtures to Iran had deteriorated into an arms-for-hostages deal. 1998, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled that workplace sexual harassment laws are applicable when the offender and victim are of the same sex. 2015, the Justice Department cleared Darren Wilson, a white former Ferguson, Missouri police officer, in the fatal shooting of Michael Brown, a black 18-year-old, but also issued a scathing report calling for sweeping changes in city law enforcement practices, which it called discriminatory and unconstitutional. And in 2020, daredevil Nick Walenda successfully walked across an 1,800-foot tightrope spanning the active Masaya volcano in Nicaragua, completing the trip across the steel cable in just over 31 minutes. A lot of days today. It is Courageous Follower Day today. Not really sure what that means. There was no explanation with it. It's Discover What Your Name Means Day today. Is International Game Masters Day, which I guess refers to the Game Master like Dungeons and Dragons, things like that. I am not familiar with those games. I do not understand, so I can't really comment on anything there. It's March 4th and Do Something Day today. A play on, of course, it's March the 4th. But March 4th and Do Something. Doesn't say what you got to do, just go do it. That part's up to you. It's Marching Music Day, again for March 4th. It's National Dance the Waltz Day today. It's National Grammar Day. Grammar is not a high point on this program, you may have noticed. It's National Sons Day today, as in celebrating sons. It is Toy Soldier Day today. I assume you can still get the little plastic soldiers. I don't know. Maybe you can't because they were a choking hazard. I mean, they really were for young children. Maybe they're bigger now. I don't know. I imagine you can in some form get them. I never really had any. I think my mom thought they were a choking hazard, so my mom was being a mom. And B, I showed no interest in those sort of toys at all. I wanted a baseball from day one. Yes, I did. It's also today Stop Bad Service Day, which apparently, according to where I found it, don't just mindlessly give a tip. If you don't get good service, don't give it. I understand this feeling, you know. Don't, you know, if you get good service, by gosh, give a tip and give a good one. But if the service is bad, I don't think you should feel that obligated. And of course, where we tip now, that's a whole nother discussion we could have. But we won't. Our food stuff for today, it's National Pound Cake Day today. That's always a pretty good snack. And speaking of, it's National Snack Day today. So it doesn't have to be pound cake. It could be any snack food you want. If you want it to be healthy, it can be healthy. If you want it to be unhealthy, it can be unhealthy. Whatever you'd like. Pick your favorite and go for it. Mine's chocolate chip cookies. You may have a different one. So there it is for what it's worth. Probably not a whole lot. 8:13 in the morning. We will come back, talk to David Stebe after this.
Let Asset Advanced Security and Electrical Technology introduce you to the cloud. No, not that kind of cloud. Cloud-based security systems. Do you know what the cloud is? To be honest, I'm just an announcer. I don't either. But the people at Asset, they're total experts. Cloud cameras, cloud access control, cloud intrusion alarms. How does this benefit you? It'll centralize data security, eliminate the need for on-premises infrastructure, make backup and recovery easier, and a whole lot more. Asset isn't a 1-800 number place that you call. They're a local company. They live here too. And if you need video surveillance, access control, fire alarms, you name it, Asset will help create it and install a security solution that's perfect for you, including cloud-based security. Asset, your local connection to the cloud. Just not that kind of cloud. To find out more, visit asetinc.com and stay local. Asset, Advanced Security and Electrical Technology.
Hi, I'm Jackie from Hawks Ridge Assisted Living. As a new year begins, it's a natural time to think about comfort, care, and the next step for those you love. We currently have availability, including two spacious one-bedroom apartments and one beautiful studio apartment. Located in the outdoor paradise of Hood River, Hawks Ridge offers four levels of assisted living care that support independence while providing peace of mind. We'd love to welcome your friends, clients, or loved ones home. Hawks Ridge, your new home in the new year.
3-year-old Reagan was treated at St. Jude.
Sparkly.
Now she can spend her days playing dress-up.
I look beautiful in this.
Instead of thinking about cancer. The team at St. Jude has helped push the overall childhood cancer survival rate in the U.S. from 20% to more than 80%, and we won't stop. Let's help more kids just be kids. Learn more at stjude.org. Finding cures, saving children.
Mid-Columbia Today is a public affairs program of Bi-Coastal Media Columbia River, 98.3 FM and 1340 AM KIHR and GorgeRadio.com. Now, back to Mark Bailey.
8:15 in the morning of Mid-Columbia Today. David Stebe, Washington State 17th District State Rep, is with us. Good morning, David.
Hey, good morning, Mark. How you doing?
Oh, not bad. You know, I just... rattling on mid part of the week, you know, all those things. Just trying to get through the day.
Yeah, I had a similar night, just to let you know. So we started our sprint, and I think we got off the floor about 10 o'clock, maybe a little bit later. Mm-hmm. Probably had 5 hours sleep, and it's going to be like that until the end of session. I think we got 8 more days, so it's going to be... just pacing it out and trying to get as much done as we can.
Something that you have been able to appears to get done, it's head to the governor's desk. We've talked about this, but it is a bill that you put together for the Washington Ambulance Quality Assurance Fee Program, and which is a lengthy bureaucratic title, admittedly. And but this is going to help, it sounds like, especially the rural emergency service providers out there be able to get some assurance of some reimbursement here.
Well, it's even more important than that. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, when you have an emergency and something happens in your home and you don't know what to do and you need help, you dial 911, you expect somebody to be there right away. So this bill is making sure that our guys are trained, qualified, and that they're able to arrive out there, and they're being reimbursed for that. So, it's an important bill. Mm-hmm. And it deals more with, you know, the Medicaid reimbursement. There are federal regulations that came in with that, and we just want to make sure that our state and the Fed regulations were all in line. So, I'm pretty happy with this. Got a lot of great support on both sides, and it was just nice to see that everybody was like, oh, this is an important one. Okay, we'll vote for you, and unanimous.
So it is on its way to the governor at this point for a signature.
Pretty cool.
So you, that's
excited.
You know, that's the unanimous stuff. The budget stuff has been less so, I think it's fair to say. The operating budget approved over the weekend by House Democrats, and we've still got some cross-chamber stuff to do here, I do believe. But I know what you maybe think about how this budget has gone down, but I will let you say it rather than me.
Yeah, you know what? It just goes right back to it. We're overspending. We're spending a lot of stuff where there's not a return of investment. You know, we just passed, an $80 billion state operation budget, which is huge. It's the largest we've ever had. And it would be okay if we're getting a return from that. But there's a lot of things that we're not seeing. We still have potholes. We still have dilapidated bridges. We have so many good programs out there. And I talk to all these people, you know, funding for school and child care and, you know, hospitals and, you know, rural hospitals and, just all these programs out there that are not being funded, and their funding is being cut. And we need to make sure that the people that are bringing back, you know, like our fish hatcheries, and that's, you know, I'm thinking down on the gorge, something that's really important. They're closing fish hatcheries. They're not funding them. But, you know, they're bringing in so much money, you know, with the guides and the tourism. And, you know, think of all the equipment that people have to buy for that. And, you know, they make a trip up to the gorge to go fishing up here. And by not funding the hatcheries, then there won't be fish, and then people will go someplace else. And, you know, that's a problem. We need to be doing things for the state to attract business, to attract tourism, instead of putting money in places that don't have a return on investment. Mm-hmm.
So when you say don't have, wait, give me an example of what doesn't have a return of investment in this budget.
So a lot of it's CCA. You know, you hear a lot about that. I think that's probably the biggest thing I've learned right now. And that's the Climate Commitment Act. And so we are doing all these things to have, you know, zero carbon emission. You know, we're trying to save the whole world. And might have said this to you on the last time, but, you know, we're not producing enough energy in this state. We're turning away business because we're not producing enough energy. You know, we have these data centers that come in. It went out to Quincy, Washington. You know, by coming in, they brought in great jobs, high-paying jobs. They helped build a library. They helped build a sports center. So they're helping the infrastructure. They're helping the community. And now all of a sudden we have people wanting to come here, and we're like, wow, we can't supply enough energy for that. So they're going to other states, and that's a bad thing. And then I went to this nuclear caucus meeting, and they were talking about China, and China has no regulations. They can do whatever they want. They're opening up a new coal plant every day. So here we are trying to be green, which is good. But if the rest of the world doesn't care, India, China, the sacrifices that we're making, what good is that if the other countries don't?
Well, the what's, you know, at some point you do have to, you do have to do what you think's right by the environment. Because I will tell you right now, a bad environment will be bad for the economy. I mean, that will be. And I get the India-China argument. I do, but that doesn't mean we should be roll back anything, just because these folks are going to be criminals, basically.
Yeah. Well, they should be. And we've got to get them in line with us. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't be doing this stuff, but the things that we're trying to do, the restrictions we're putting on companies, I mean, already we're good. We're doing better than the rest of the world, basically. Mm-hmm. And this state is a champion with all this stuff. But we're even going further and further. And it's like, you know, maybe we can slow down a little bit of that to make sure that we're attracting business. You know, we're not taxing businesses. We're not telling them to do things that there are no solutions for. You know, we looked at one bill that was talking about, there's a chemical in tires, and we're trying to tell the tire companies, you know what, you got to eliminate that product. But there's no solution for that. But they want to put a timeline on that. It's like, okay, in the next, you know, 5 years, you're going to have a solution for that.
Does anybody have a scientific idea of how long it will take to find a solution? That's what I'd be asking is, okay, what does the science tell me? How far are we from not needing this chemical? And that would what I would use to guide me as far as any sort of timeline, not necessarily a timeline out of the air, which sounds like it's kind of done in this case. Does anybody have an answer to that?
Not yet. And, you know, I get the thing where it's like, you know, we have a problem, so we need a solution. But what I don't like is that the state is trying to mandate and say, you know, this will be illegal in 5 years from today. And it's like, you know, let the companies, let the industry come up with the solutions. You know, they know there's a problem out there. So let them provide the solution instead of, you know, us trying to mandate saying, hey, this has to happen by this date. or you'll be fined.
How much of this budget question this year, we talked about this a little bit when we've talked on the Oregon side of budget, is how much is there of, you know, the state not liking some decisions that came at the federal level to cut health care funding and in other areas? We can probably think of a ton of them. And the state trying to backfill some of what was taken away from the federal level that, to be quite honest, maybe we just can't, the state, I'm not sure, can realistically afford to do. Is that playing a role in this budget where we're trying to make up for what we think? I mean, and I'm being very liberal on the we word here. We think, well, the federal government's abdicating their responsibility for X, and so now we're trying to do it ourselves when really the money isn't there.
Yeah, so we haven't decided that yet. You know, we're still in negotiations. We've still got so many amendments that we're trying to drop out there. So that'll probably be a future conversation to see, you know, where it all turns out. But it's, you know, it's funny with all the federal stuff and the state stuff and trying to bring it all together. But that question is going to be interesting. Mm-hmm. You know, I would like to talk, if I got a second.
Sure,
you know,
go
one of the big bills. Well, go ahead.
Go ahead. I was just saying go ahead. Yes, go ahead.
Thank you, Mark. Thank you. But, you know, it's going quick. We're almost done. We have about 8 days left. We still have a lot of work to do. We're going to be spending some really, really long nights on the floor. But, you know, one of them last night, and I can't tell you how many amendments we dropped to try and kill it, a really bad bill, but it was the masking bill. And, you know, if you look at it big picture-wise, that was a federal issue, and you're kind of talking about federal things versus state. Uh-huh. So because, you know, the ICE got a lot of bad publicity out there, and all of a sudden they came up with a bill that, hey, you know, no police officer, nobody can wear a mask. And, you know, we got into long debates about that. And I'm like, you know, I know it's a federal issue and maybe some really bad things did happen, but why are we trying to punish our police, our sheriffs, our first responders? And why are we trying to dictate something to them that happened on a federal level? And I don't know, I was sitting there listening to all the amendments. I had a couple comments, but my big thing is, you know, when you have the mobs coming in and they're taking bricks and they're throwing them through store windows, and that doesn't happen that often, but it has happened. They're wearing masks. You know, my thing was, you know what, if you're going to ban masks for the cops, I think it should ban masks for everybody.
Man, except the
people that are doing bad things out there.
The difference is, and I don't want to defend people who are vandalizing property, because I don't want to.
Yeah.
But the difference to me is the law enforcement officers are actually employees of us, the public.
Exactly.
They do get held to a higher standard, and I think they accept that higher standard, by the way. Because they understand the job they're in. The vast majority of them, the vast majority of our officers are wonderful people who do a really thankless job. Unless we're talking about there's a real health safety issue involved, I don't mind you being. I'm annoyed too with some of these folks who mask themselves. I get kind of annoyed with anybody who throws a mask over their face while advocating something that, it's like, okay, put your face to it if you really believe in it. At the same time, I don't think, you know, unless there's an actual a physical safety issue involved, I just don't see a justification for law enforcement wearing masks. Now, whether you should do a state law, because now you start to get into some of these issues you're talking about, that's debatable. And I keep coming back to here, I've seen administrations come and go. And they will come and go again, by the way. They're all going to, yeah.
Of course.
Legislatures, everything. They all come and go. that I'm not debating the law, but I understand the theory behind it. I understand the theory of why, and I think a lot of people are in favor of it, by the way, of in some way. But could this be handled by the policies of most departments probably already addressing this? That I think we should take into consideration.
That's what my thoughts are. My thing is, I don't want the bad guys having the masks on.
Well,
you know, I think a protest that starts going awry and they start causing violence and all that stuff, I'm not worried. I think the police guys, mm-hmm. and just like you said, mm-hmm. they're out there, they're on the front lines, they're not covered up and wearing masks. That shouldn't be the way. Mm-hmm. You know, unless they're undercover or doing some special thing. You know,
And you don't want to tie their hands on legitimate investigative work.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Let them, you know, manage their thing. But I don't know. That was just a really long debate last night. And we're trying to kind of let them do their thing. You know, sheriffs should be, I don't know, responsible to decide what kind of a safety equipment or what the situation is for their people to do their job to protect us. Mm-hmm. And they protect us, so we need to protect them. That's my bottom line.
I don't have a problem with that. I just understand why when you see these federal agents wearing masks in areas that I'll be honest, I look and go, these people don't need to be wearing these. They should have some sort of identification because it's part of the accountability there. I understand the frustration part, but do I want to tie the hands of my local folks who I don't feel that frustration about? And that's a tough line to walk.
And that's the point I think I'm making. So it's a federal problem, and because of that, they're trying to bring it into the state. And, you know, I'll tell you, my guys, you know, my cops, they really care about the community. You know, they have a once a month, you know, coffee with a cop. They really want to be out there in front of the community and let the community know that they support them and not to be afraid of them. And, you know, we're trying to overcome that stuff that a couple of years ago, you know, everybody was like, oh, they're all bad. And that's not true. You know, they are incredible people that sacrifice so much. We need to support those guys.
Yeah, I know we need to run here, but I think part of that is when you're in a smaller community like the ones, you know, like your Washougal, Hood River, the Dalles. I had one local police chief here tell me, you know, the difference is, and that's when this was really going on 4 or 5 years ago. And the difference, like he is a chief. He said, I probably know too much about the personal life of all my officers. But he's though in contact and understands. And I think when you get to these large metropolitan departments, and I don't have an answer for this, but it's like any other large, huge department or bureaucracy, the top-level policy and the people on the street are so separated from each other that it's hard to maintain standards. And you're right. Here locally, we see our officers, you know, at the game. We see them out, you know, at the festivals. They're a part of our lives, and they're our neighbors. And so I think sometimes when we hear this, especially in the bigger metropolitan communities, to then try to filter it down to the smaller rural levels, it's really two different questions in a lot of ways. And I think that the challenge is injecting some of that they're a part of our community into how the bigger departments run. And it's a real challenge, I'm sure. But I think I can't help but think that's a big part of this. We need is that, you know, it's amazing what happens when people look at people as just other people and not as something in a uniform or in an office or some, or, you know, where it becomes unpersonalized.
Yeah. Well, it's reputations and story.
So, anyway, we're breaking up there a little bit, but we are running out of time here at 8:34 in the morning. So I need to ask you real quick here. I know I'm keeping we're kind of cutting our other guest here, but I think I want to ask this with the legislature. You know, we do know that there is definitely a chasm between the governor and the Democratic legislative leadership. So as you sit there observing it, because that's all you really can do is observe it.
That's right.
Where do you see this possibly ending up when we get to the end of the session here in a few days? Where do you see this shaking down? Because it certainly seems the governor is not necessarily on the same page as the leadership from his party in the legislature.
Yeah, and, you know, it's pretty disappointing to kind of see that. But, you know what, it's just right now we just got to kind of hope that they all come together. And you're right, we have to watch what's going on. But I think the clock is ticking, and I think they want to be able to end this session on a good note and to make sure that, you know, we have spent the last, you know, 2 months up here doing productive things. And at the end of the day, I mean, I just got to be hopeful with that. But, you know, there are good people up here, and there's smart people up here. And I think that they just need to make sure that they come together. We're coming to the finish line. And I think there's got to be some concessions on both sides. And if we want to make sure that this was a good session, we're going to have to do that. Yeah. And like I say, I'm being hopeful that we're going to do the responsible thing.
It is 8:35 in the morning. I know we need to run. David, thanks for doing this. Appreciate it.
Hey, buddy, I really appreciate it. Mark, invite me out there during dinner, and hope to see you soon.
All right. Thanks, David. 8:35 in the morning. Mick Lemmy the day. Quick news update next.
Hey, I'm Mike Slater. My dad passed away at the age of 63. It's out of nowhere. Had a stroke. Super hard, obviously, for the whole family, but my dad had life insurance. This is why I have life insurance for my family, for my wife and 4 kids. And the best place to get life insurance is ethos.com, because you can do it in 10 minutes. And there's no medical exam and no blood test, just a few health questions. Get life insurance in 10 minutes so your family is protected. Ethos, E-T-H-O-S, ethos.com/Mike.
Wesley Financial Group is not a law firm.
I'm Chuck McDowell, founder of Wesley Financial Group. Did you buy a timeshare because they told you it was a great investment? That's a lie. Most timeshares can be bought online for a dollar. To find out what your timeshare is worth and to cancel it, call us today and we'll send you our timeshare exit kit free with all your options for cancellation.
Call Wesley for your free exit info guide. 800-885-3333. That's 800-885-3333.
Start your weekday morning with the most in-depth ag news and information around.
So areas like Oregon, much of that state, snowpack less than 50% of average for this time of year.
Snap graduated from WSU in 1983.
It's hard to remain optimistic.
We'll ensure that millions of school-aged children have access to high-quality milk.
Together, we can make a difference.
Northwest Ag Today, weekday mornings from 5 to 6.
On 98.3 FM and 1340 AM, KIHR.
Mark your calendar. The Bi-Coastal Media Radio Auction is Saturday, March 14th, presented by Guild Mortgage. Take advantage of savings on over $150,000 worth of local goods and services. Dining certificates, health and beauty, auto service, travel and entertainment, outdoor recreation, home improvement, and more. Increase your chances to win items by securing a bidder number now. Call 541-296-2211. Our on-air live radio auction, Saturday, March 14th, presented by Guild Mortgage.
Coffee for Mid-Columbia Today guests is provided by Hood River Coffee Roasters, the gorgeous local coffee roasters on Tucker Road on the Heights in Hood River.
In the morning, quick check of news headlines because we are running behind here. Clickitat County Commissioners extended the moratorium on establishment of battery energy storage systems for another 6 months to allow the county prosecuting attorney's office time to formulate a legal opinion on a proposed ordinance before the county planning commission. Hood River police arrested 3 people on drug and weapons charges and outstanding warrants following a Monday traffic stop. An officer stopped a vehicle for speed and lane violations, observed a passenger concealing items underneath his seat. Officers found a stolen firearm, daggers, a taser, and multiple bindles of what was believed to be crystal methamphetamine. Just 1 day after Oregon Democrats pushed through a bill that would move a statewide transportation tax hike from November to May, a statewide vote, I left out the key word there, vote, Republican opponents say they're in the process of filing a lawsuit seeking to stop the election change. And newly built data centers could be temporarily exempt for Governor Tina Kotek's hotly debated economic stimulus bill. Though double the length of property tax exemptions for industries, investing in Oregon infrastructure and jobs in urban and suburban enterprise zones. Currently, it is 47 in Stevenson, 48 in the Dalles, 47 in Hood River at 8:39.
Hey, it's Zach from Del Carpini Automotive. You know those tall Sprinter vans that look like they could secretly double as apartments? Yeah, we work on those, and we know them really well. Whether it's your adventure rig, work van, or a mystery mobile full of camping gear and snacks from 2022, we've got you covered. We're now just 10 minutes up the hill in our great new location in Hood River. Come see us. From Mercedes and Ford, big rigs to Sprinters, no jobs too big or small. At Del Carpini, we work on them all.
Family owned and locally trusted.
I am Imelda Padilla. I am a daughter, a mother, a sister, and a proud member of this community. Being part of Skyline Health, both on the hospital and the foundation board, allows me to support the healthcare that this community needs to keep us strong. That's why I am committed to supporting Skyline, not just as a patient, but as a board member. This hospital makes our community stronger and healthier every day. I am Skyline.
Say hello to the Goodbyes Coupon Book.
The Goodbyes Coupon Book is back.
On page 50, take 25% off any service at Big Bombshell Beauty, located in Beaux-Trois Day Spa and Salon in the Dalles. And on page 12, get $3,000 off your purchase of a new double-wide manufactured home from Columbia Gorge Affordable Homes.
Pick up a free Goodbyes Coupon Book at any of these business locations or online at gorgeradio.com.
Hello, goodbye.
KIHR weather for the Gorge.
Your local forecast brought to you by SheFire. For all your fire protection needs and safety training, we're certified, mobile, local, and insured. 541-980-1181. 980-1181. That's SheFire.
Rain in the forecast for the Hood River area today and all the way into Friday. Highs in the lower 50s today. The west wind 20 miles per hour. Gusts to 35 this afternoon west of Hood River.
Mid-Columbia Today is a public affairs program of Bi-Coastal Media Columbia River, 98.3 FM and 1340 AM KIHR and GorgeRadio.com. Now, back to Mark Bailey.
And it is now 8:41 in the morning on Mid-Columbia Today. We're now joined by, from the next door, Amanda Lawrence. Good morning, Amanda. Oh, hold on. She's not on the line. That's what I get for just looking up and deciding to start again and not realizing she wasn't quite there yet. I've got a second here. Gorge Speakeasy Monthly Storytelling Night tonight at 7th Ruins in Hood River. The March theme is Legacy. Admission is by donation. This month, supporting the Sunshine Club. For information, go to itsangiemarie.com/Gorge Speakeasy. I may continue? Okay. Thank you, Cameron. Let's now talk to Amanda Lawrence for the next door. Good morning, Amanda.
Good morning. How are you?
All right. How are you doing today?
Great.
So got coming up here in a couple weeks. You're going to do this in the Dalles, I do believe, the Fort Dalles Readiness Center. It's called the Community Legacy Initiative, which I think, if I remember right, maybe you've done as a, maybe not the whole group of nonprofits, but once before. Tell us a little bit about what you got planned here in a couple weeks.
Yeah, so on Thursday, March 19th, from 5:30 to 7:30, we are going to meet at the Fort Dalles Readiness Center with a panel of experts. And the main goal of this is to help people get their will or estate plan together. There is a group of nonprofits who started this project last year, a lot of social service agencies who are in the business of helping people, you know, have the tools to succeed in life and feel like they can, you know, go through life with as little barriers as possible. And one of the things that we've realized is that only 35% of the population has a will. And one thing we know is that if you don't have a will and you die unexpectedly without that in place, it is a huge financial and time burden on your family and the people that you love most. And so this event really aims to break down the barriers to getting that process started and also addresses the barriers that people face just when they're thinking about this and how they want to leave things. And so we will have a CPA there, we will have a wealth management expert there, and we will also have an attorney.
I would think there are...
And we, you know, we...
Go ahead.
Oh, no, and I was just going to say, you know, we originally, when we started this process, we started it thinking about legacies of, there's going to be, you know, an $84 trillion transfer of wealth starting in 2028 as the boomers start to pass. And I heard this number at a conference I was at, and when I first heard it, I thought, that money has the power to change the world. And so when we first started this event, we really thought, hey, we want to help people get their wills together. And we also want people to think, if after your family is taken care of, is there a way to leave a little bit and also leave a legacy, not just for your family, but also for the future of your community? Because that money has the power to shape a generation and to shape the future of communities.
Mm-hmm. You know, as you go through that, I mean, I know I've got older parents who have gone through some of these issues. And one of the things I think they start to think about, to be honest, is not leaving a tax burden on their,
yeah,
on me, basically. You know, I'll just lay it right on the line in the case of me, my mom and dad. Does including some charitable... charitable contributions in a will, does that offer some tax benefits for people who might be dealing with the same sort of thing?
Yes, I think it can. And I think it is sort of tricky territory because it really,
sure,
depends on what state you're in, and it depends on several factors. And so, you know, I think one of the things that these experts are going to talk about is, there are so many little decisions like that that need to be made within a will, that is the reason that only 35% of the population has this in order, mm-hmm, is that you have to look at all of this. And so these experts, there's going to be a CPA, like I said, and an attorney and a wealth manager. They're going to talk about, what are some things you need to look at? And in regards to that question, and in regards to, you know, other challenges people face about how to prepare things so that it is equal and that there's a, you know, a benefit to all. And it does vary so much on, you know, everyone's personal circumstance, but these experts will really help folks navigate the questions that start needing to be answered and give people resources. So we will, when we leave, send people home with basically a guide that answers some basic facts about how to start this process, some questions to be answered. And it's really hard to answer specific questions,
sure,
for people at this, but what this will do will help guide people in the right direction.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think it's important to tell the story of how this started. So like I said,
right,
when I first had the idea for this event, it was originally through my lens as a fundraiser, thinking, how do we get people not only to take care of their family, which is the most important thing, but also to reconnect to community and the importance of the fact that we're all in this together. And if we're able to help people out, you know, then let's do that. And so that is a piece of it. But in that process, one of our co-creators of this event, you know, shared her story. And her story was that when she was 34 years old with a 4-year-old son, her husband died suddenly, and they had a home that they had literally built brick by brick together. But because they were young, and this wasn't really in anything they could have imagined as an outcome, they didn't have a will together. And so while she was in this very traumatic, hard, and unexpected experience, she had to go through the court system because they didn't have a will and spend a lot of money at this very challenging time for her just to keep this house that they had literally built brick by brick together. And that story stuck with me because life is so unexpected. And even though it is so hard to think about starting this process, and even though it's so hard to think about starting it even at 30, it is so incredibly important for those unexpected times. And so I really just want to get the message out that this event is not just for people who have a ton of money. It's not just for people in their 60s and 70s. This is really to help everyone start the process to set their family up for success and to ease the burden during these challenging and unexpected times, no matter what stage they are in that life and no matter what their financial situation is.
As I do, in some cases, is it people thinking that, frankly, they just don't have enough to warrant a will?
That is often the case, yes. And there are so many levels of wills, and there are wills and there are trusts, and lawyers will help you figure out, and this event will help people figure out what is really needed. And based on the assets you have, there's different kinds of plans that work better. And often what happens is that people might start out with a will, and then a few decades down the road, it will become an estate plan, or maybe it won't. But these are documents that are often updated, every 10 years or so, or 5 years, depending on people's status. It does change. And I think wills, are probably a more simple version of what you can do. And then there are, estate plans are a little more complicated. So that is not my area of expertise, which is why I put this on. Because when I started this, I didn't have a will together either. And I turned 50 this year and I have two kids. And hearing that story that coworker shared with me really put it into light of, I never felt like I had enough assets to really warrant that. But when I saw the struggles she went through and heard about that, it really brought to light the importance of doing this and making it the norm in our community. Because how, especially for us who are in the business of social service and helping people, that is one thing we can prevent. That is one thing we can prepare for and give people the tools to do that.
So the Community Legacy Initiative, you're going to have an event on the 19th of March at the Fort Dalles Readiness Center at 5:30. And there's other nonprofits I mentioned. You're from the next door, but there's a lot of them involved here. How do people sign up for this?
Okay, so that is a great event, a great question. They have, we have an Eventbrite. So they can email me at development@nextdoorinc.org. They can also look on Facebook and look up the Legacy event. They can reach out to any of the nonprofits that are involved in this. There are multiple, so reach out to the Next Door, reach out to Mid-Columbia MCAC. I'm just spacing on their
Mid-Columbia
their
Community
right
Action.
Now, but thank you. CASA, Big River, Washington Gorge Action Program, Great River, Columbia Gorge Food Bank, Columbia Gorge Community Foundation, Columbia Gorge Community College. So all of these organizations are putting it on together. We all have the information out in our newsletters, and Facebook is a great way to find it. But if they can't, please email me at development@nextdoorinc.org, and I will send the registration. It is a free event. This kind of advice often costs hundreds to thousands of dollars. And it is just the start of the process. I do understand that, but it is free advice to help get you started. We will send people home with tools to complete that process. And we are having it catered by Casa El Mirador. So people will show up to this free event, they'll get some food, and they will hear from the leading experts in the area about this event. And we, we specifically asked folks in the Dalles to help with this. So we have Bob Kenyon, who is well known in the Gorge, and he is our keynote speaker. We have Brad Timmons, who's a lawyer in the Dalles, and Nate Reagan, who's a CPA in the Dalles. So all well-known people within the Dalles, people you can easily connect with in the Dalles when this is over. And we really hope to have a great turnout for this and help get that 35% number up, at least here locally.
Amanda Lawrence is with us from the next door, talking about the Community Legacy Initiative, again, March 19th, 5:30, Fort Dalles Readiness Center. Amanda, thanks for doing this. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
It is
bye-bye.
It's 8:54 in the morning. We'll wrap things up after this.
$5,000. That's the average amount of money people in the U.S. are now spending on gas in a year. $5,000. That's crazy. If you drive, you have to download Upside, the free app that gives you cash back every time you get gas. That's right. You can earn real cash back with Upside just by buying the gas you're already buying. You can literally start earning cash back today.
I use Upside every time I fill up, and I've already made around $200, $300.
You're putting gas in your car anyway. Why not get real cash back? If you like free money, download Upside.
I'm saving the cash I earn from using Upside to help pay for a vacation later this year.
Download the free Upside app now to earn cash back every time you buy gas. Use promo code SOUND to get an extra 25 cents per gallon on your first tank. You can cash out anytime right to your bank, PayPal, or a gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just download the free Upside app and use promo code SOUND for a 25 cents per gallon bonus on your first tank. That's code SOUND for a 25 cents per gallon bonus.
Hey, I'm Mike Slater. My dad passed away at the age of 63. He's out of nowhere. Had a stroke. Super hard, obviously, for the whole family, but my dad had life insurance. This is why I have life insurance for my family, for my wife and four kids. And the best place to get life insurance is ethos.com, because you can do it in 10 minutes. And there's no medical exam and no blood test, just a few health questions. Get life insurance in 10 minutes so your family is protected. Ethos, E-T-H-O-S, ethos.com/Mike.
Wesley Financial Group is not a law firm.
I'm Chuck McDowell, founder of Wesley Financial Group. Did you buy a timeshare because they told you it was a great investment? That's a lie. Most timeshares can be bought online for a dollar. To find out what your timeshare is worth and to cancel it, call us today and we'll send you our timeshare exit kit free with all your options for cancellation.
Call Wesley for your free exit info guide. 800-885-3333. That's 800-885-3333.
If you owe back taxes, listen carefully to rule number one. Never go up against the IRS alone. They're cracking down, freezing bank accounts, garnishing paychecks, canceling passports. Even your home or business could be at risk. But here's what they don't tell you. The IRS has powerful tax relief programs that could save you thousands if you qualify. That's why smart people call Optima Tax Relief, America's number one tax resolution firm. Nobody knows these programs like the experts at Optima. Their team of tax attorneys and licensed professionals have resolved over $2 billion in tax debt for people just like you. The IRS is not stopping, so don't wait and don't take them on alone. For tax help you need, for tax help you can trust, call Optima today for a free consultation.
Call 800-780-3599. 800-780-3599. 800-780-3599.
Optima Tax Relief.
Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
Tune in weekday mornings at 8:05 and keep up with community events and issues with the Mid-Columbia Today Show on Mid-Columbia's News Leaders, 98.3 FM and 1340 AM KIHR.
8:58 in the morning. We took a wrap to the wire today. Tomorrow on this show, Sarah Fox will join us, talk about the upcoming Sense of Place event this month with Adrian Slade, who is someone who works with snakes. They're going to talk about snakes at the next event, Sense of Place. Rattlesnakes, apparently, in particular. Also, we'll talk OSU Extension with Megan Wickersham Friday. Dr. Mike Foss will be here to talk animals. Monday, we talk Mid-Columbia Center for Living in the Port of the Dalles. Tuesday, we talk Hood River County. We talk Wasco County next week. So plenty of stuff coming up on the Mid-Columbia Today program over the next little while. There are two things we do not talk about well, by the way, in this culture. Sex and death. We do not have good discussions. We don't seem to have good discussions about that. This relates to, obviously, what we just talked about with the wills. And I actually understand why, because we're talking about the end of us in the case of death. I have a will. My wife has a will. We just have everything go back to each other, basically. We don't have kids, so that does make it easier. But it is something that's important, though, to have, especially when we talk about if you've got some assets and get it sorted out so your children don't have to deal with it, or whoever it might be.
We're done. For Cameron Eisenberg, I'm Mark Bailey. Talk to you Thursday.
The Mid-Columbia Today Show is a public affairs presentation of Bi-Coastal Media Columbia River. The views expressed on the program are not necessarily those of the station, parent company, or of the sponsors. We welcome your suggestions for future shows. Call us at 541-386-1511. If you've missed any of today's show, go online to gorgeradio.com and click on Local On Demand for our podcast version. Thank you for listening to Mid-Columbia Today.